Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Hallelujah. First of all, good evening. How's everybody doing? My name is Mike Williams. I'm one of the pastors here at Bethel. I have the awesome privilege of having been here since 2003. And I'm thankful that God brought my family to this place. I also want to extend greetings to the community online. We thank you for being a part of this service, and we thank you for adding your faith with ours this evening. I was asked a couple weeks ago, and I think I'm going to start out with a confession. I grew up Catholic, so it's only fitting. I was asked a couple weeks ago, well, I guess last week, because Pastor Mike spoke 2 weeks ago on battles and blessings, the blessing and the battle. And so he came to me and he said, hey, I'm wanting you to, and that was actually on my birthday when he spoke, the next Wednesday. And he didn't know that I'm always looking for an opportunity to be used by God. It doesn't matter in what capacity, because I understand that there's only a few of us who ever have an opportunity to get on stage and actually share what we believe to be the word of God. But every last one of us has an opportunity to be used by God. So I ask God in my secret place and in my secret time, Lord, just give me an opportunity to share what you've done with me and in my life with those who may not know who I am, may not have heard it this way, may just be asking you for something different. Use me as a vessel in order to share your hope with them. And he gave me that opportunity. It was supposed to come last Wednesday, and as you know, it didn't. And it was one of those type things where I've been challenged with procrastination, you know. So I'm thinking, well, is it going to snow? Is it not going to snow? It was like one of those type things where I'm like, you know, do I spend all my time getting in the word and just going forth to be prepared, or do I just enjoy the fact that my girls are at home and we get a chance to enjoy each other? And so, needless to say, I didn't prepare at that point in time. And wouldn't you know it, yesterday, he says to me, hey, champ, you ready to speak? I'm saying, man, I should have done what I knew would have been the most appropriate thing to do, and that was to be prepared, be ready in season and out of season, because you just don't know when you're going to be called upon. And that's a challenge that I would give you. A lot of people, like I said, don't have an opportunity to be up here or have this opportunity, but a lot of people don't prepare themselves. You don't know when your number is going to be called. You don't know when you're going to have an opportunity. So I want to start out by saying, prepare yourselves for opportunities. And then I'm going to give you a practical application of that. We've been talking about the blessed life. We've been talking about the blessed life. And I want to know from you all what you believe the blessed life to be. I want to know from you what you believe the blessed life to be, because it's very, very important, and I'll be talking about this when I get into the message. It's very important that you understand what you've been hearing concerning the blessed life. One of the things that Pastor Mike talked about was the fact that the message about blessings and the blessed life has been abused in the body of Christ, unfortunately. And so it looks like a lot of things to a lot of people. And so I want to know what it looks like to you. So do we have three people who'd be willing to share what the blessed life is to them? Three people. I need three. I see a hand. Come on, Mr. Eric, come on up. And I saw a hand of a young man. Anybody else while we're waiting? The blessed life. You've learned something. You've been here on Sundays. You've been here on Wednesdays. You know some things. Okay, come on. Third person. Come on. Come on over here so they can see you. All right, introduce yourself and tell them what you know the blessed life to be.
My name is Eric Hammers. To me, the blessed life that I've learned in this series is that knowing that no matter what life throws your way each and every day, I'm learning that, you know, there's 24 hours in the day we have, and anything can happen in those 24 hours, but knowing the God that we serve, knowing that he's an awesome God, and he's a merciful God and a loving God, knowing that we can just call upon his name whenever we need to, and he's right there within a second next to us. It's given me more boldness. I was able to minister to a young man on my job today who's been having some family issues, and he was just being so negative. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, I want you to go home tonight and call upon the name of Jesus in your house. He said his family life's been messed up for a long time. And I told him, I said, he's like, but what if that don't work? I said, give it a chance. I say, you'll never, because I'm learning that, you know, like I said before, all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus Christ, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're struggling with, because he's awesome, he's powerful, he's merciful, he's loving, and that's what the blessed life is to me.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Gabby Jordan, and this series has so many nuggets in it. But one of the biggest things I think that sticks out to me is that God gives me the power to either live a blessed life or a cursed life. You know, and out of because he gives us the grace to be obedient to his word. And so when we're obedient to his word, that's when we can prove him in rebuking the devourer, and not just in our finances, but in every area of our life. We have the power, we have the grace to do that when we walk in the power of living the blessed life.
Wow. Come on over.
My name is Destiny Washington. She just kind of said what I was going to say. But for me, it's a blessing. The blessing in it is submission, to be able to submit. And you can only do that by God's grace and through faith, you know, in his son, Jesus Christ. So the work can't really manifest in your life if you don't submit to it. And only he can give that. He's doing it. So, yeah, that's the blessing for me.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many of y'all were ready to be called on today? Raise your hand if you were ready. Were you ready? I said, no, man, that's all right. Well, find yourself ready, because being a part of a disciple-making church, that's what we expect. You expect it from us. Why shouldn't we expect it from you? You understand what I'm saying? And the blessed life to me is knowing that God is who he says he is. And as a result of me knowing that, all of the things that he has said concerning me, I get a chance or an opportunity, just like the sister was saying, to walk out. And I get an opportunity to let others who don't know about who God is, what's available to them. And so I want to start out by reading a passage of scripture that speaks about the blessed life. This one in particular, I didn't have in my notes, so you might have to go to it, but this is in way of testimony for me. I just celebrated my 43rd birthday, and I guess a couple years back, when I was in a different place, I read this passage of scripture, and I'm praying that this passage of scripture speaks to somebody tonight. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And mind you, this was a place when, even though I knew I was blessed, that God had made available the blessed life for me, I wasn't seeing the blessed life walked out in my shoes on a daily basis. I wasn't experiencing the blessed life, and I was wondering what the problem was. You know, I turned 40, and I'm trying to understand from God's perspective why I was where I was. And I humbly came upon this passage of scripture, Deuteronomy 8, 1. It says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that I have promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. Why? To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving to you this day. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, when you build houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a rock, a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had not known, to humble you and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hand have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirm his covenant he swore to your forefathers as it is today. I read that and it hit me like a ton of bricks, because I had started to believe the message of the blessed life that was popular in culture. I started looking at what I possessed, started looking at my car, started looking at the cars of my colleagues, started looking at my house, started looking at the houses of my colleagues, started looking at my wife, started looking at the wives of my colleagues. I don't think I'm any different from anybody else in this place. I forgot what my big brothers and sisters forgot. That God is who he says he is. And that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. That he has already provided every good and perfect thing for us to enjoy. He has not withheld any good thing from those whose walk is blameless. His word is just riddled with his blessing, with the blessed life. As a matter of fact, go to Genesis. Genesis 1, 27 through 31. I did give those scriptures. Ready to go? So he created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, or him. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. From the very beginning, the blessed life was offered to mankind. From the very beginning, the first people who walked on earth, the blessed life was offered. But what I wanted to, the main point that I had today, or the theme that I would have for tonight, would be that the blessed life, or the blessed life, is the tested life. The blessed life, or the blessed life, is the tested life. Because I have yet to find an instance when God pronounced a blessing to his people where a test did not follow. Where a test did not follow. And the reason why I had people come up here and talk about the blessed life, or what the blessed life was to them, is because I am not ignorant of the fact that when we see and hear the message concerning a faith-filled message concerning the blessed life, that faith rises up in us. I know that there are people who have given who have never given as a result of hearing the word. But the danger of hearing the word and not understanding the word, especially concerning the blessed life, is the fact that you may find yourself exempt from the blessed life, and it becomes somebody else's truth and not yours. It becomes somebody else's reality and not yours. And you might then have a problem with God. You might have a problem with God's people, because they have learned that it's not good enough just to hear the word of God that brings faith. We have to hear the word of God, understand the word of God, to the point where we can put action steps to the word of God in order to see that manifest in our lives. Amen? Well, we know the story. Adam and Eve, they were blessed. Then the test came. They were blessed. Then the test came. Pastor Mike talked about Noah. Noah was blessed. But as soon as the blessing came, the test came. We can go on down the line. We know about Abraham. Abraham was blessed. The test came. The test came. You think about Jonah. He was blessed. Why? Because he heard from God at a time when people weren't hearing from God. That was a blessing, to know and have a relationship with God that others did not have. That, well, he was blessed. But then the test came. Even Job. And how many of you all have made the mistake of claiming Job's suffering? Anybody in here made the mistake of claiming, man, this must be the Job type of suffering that I'm going through right now? Am I the only one who's made that mistake? Let's go to the book of Job. Let's go to the book of Job, please. Book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This was a blameless, and this man was blameless and upright. All right? First of all, we don't talk about that when we put ourselves in Job's shoes. We skip over that part. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the earth, or the east. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the period of fasting had come to an end, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. And I don't know if you have a Bible like I have, but the subheading next says Job's first test. Right after that. Now, the reason why I read that was some of us are stuck in the fact that the blessed life has stuff attached to it. All right? If anybody had stuff, Job had stuff. But before it was enumerated, the stuff that Job had, it talked about him being blameless. It talked about him fearing his God. It talked about him shunning evil. All of those things. And we don't talk about those things when we talk about the blessed life. And it's very, very important that we talk about those things when we talk about the blessed life, or else we have an incomplete picture of what the blessed life actually looks like, and we set ourselves up for unrealistic expectation. I've heard it said like this: we're only disappointed when our expectations are not met. Does that mean we need to lower our expectations? No, it means we need to manage our expectations. And the way we manage our expectations is by understanding God's word, taking him in light of his word, and walking upon what he has said and not on what we've heard. Walking on what he has said and not what we've heard. And then we go on to see that one day the angels came to present themselves before God, and Satan came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth, going back and forth in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" One of the things that I learned not long ago, and it blew my mind, was the fact that, what's your name, sis? Gabby. She was talking about the choice that we have. The thing that I learned was, whenever God is testing us, at that same time, Satan is tempting us. Whenever God is testing us for our good, we just got done reading in Deuteronomy, to test us, to know what's in our hearts. The enemy is tempting us at the exact same time. Well, what is therefore a temptation, or what I would call a temptation, and what would be considered a test? Well, temptation would be considered accepting what Satan has to say about things, accepting what the world has to say about things, accepting what you have to say about things, and rejecting what God has said about things. All right? And testing is accepting what God has said about things and rejecting what you say about things, what the world says about things, and what Satan says about things. So whenever I'm using those terms, that's what I'm talking about as far as temptation and testing. And God was testing Job at this point in time by allowing Satan to tempt him. And I'm telling you, if you're going to understand God, you're going to understand the blessed life, then you're going to have to understand that as you are pursuing the God who provided the blessed life, as you are walking out his will concerning the blessed life, then you are going to have an opportunity to follow your own lust, your own desires concerning what you believe the blessed life to be, or following what he has prescribed the blessed life to be, and what his word says that you need to do in order to obtain it, and not just to walk in it, but to remain in it. Amen? We know that in this scripture, this passage of scripture, that Satan came and accused God of giving Job stuff. He said, you've given him all this stuff. That's why he fears you. You take all the stuff away and he'll curse you. He'll curse you. Well, we know what happened. Then the second test came. And I'm telling you all, some of you all are in the middle of test. You are in the middle of test right now. And some of you all, that doesn't present a good place for you because you never have been good test takers. As a matter of fact, test anxiety is something that is commonplace with you. And so when you hear that the blessed life is the tested life, then that doesn't present to you something that you would want to embrace. But the great thing about the blessed life being the tested life is Jesus the Christ. And knowing him and knowing who he is and being found in him. Because the Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 16, 33. Do we have that? John 16, 33. Jesus says, I have said these things to you that you may know or you may have peace. In the world, you will have test. Amen? You will have tests, says tribulation. But take heart. Why? Because I've already passed the test. I've already passed the test. And as long as you're found in me, guess what? You passed the test. Being found in me is being found in the kingdom. The kingdom is God's way of doing things and being right. Being outside of him, we find ourselves doing what we want to do, doing what others have said we need to do, or listening to Satan and being tempted to do what he has said for us to do. I wanted to look at the life of Joshua quickly, and I wanted to see if we could learn anything from him. I believe we can learn some things from his life. Joshua was one who his life was a very peculiar life. He was tested from the very, very beginning. One of the first times we start hearing about Joshua, we hear about him and 11 other men being sent to a blessed land, to spy out a blessed land in order to see whether or not God, who had made a claim about this blessed land that he was going to bring his people into, was actually a man of his word. So he, Caleb, and the other 10 young men go to this good land. They come back, and what happens? Two have a good report. In other words, two have accepted God to be who he says he is, accepted his way of being right, and have declared that to the people. 10 have declared something else. What they've seen, what they've heard, what they've been tempted to believe. He was tested from the very, very beginning. And then when we find in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, into the land that I have given to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread, I have given you, just as I have promised Moses. Continue. From the wilderness and this great Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Continue on to 5, please. So no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Just be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your forefathers to give you. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right, to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Now, why did God have to say that to Joshua? He'd already promised that he was going to go in and that he was going to secure what God had promised him. Why do you think that he had to tell him to be strong and courageous? In my sanctified imagination, I have to think that even though Joshua had passed that other test with flying colors, somewhere along the line, he started getting bad grades. And as a result of him getting bad grades or not adding or meeting the standard that was put in front of him, his confidence was shaken to where he didn't believe that he could be who God said that he was when he walked over that first time into the land of promise. And some of you all tonight, you've done mighty things in this faith community for God. You've seen things. You've laid hands on the sick and they've recovered. You've spoken a word and actually saw it come to pass. You've prayed for somebody else and what you prayed actually happened. But now you've had a string of failures, so to speak. and it has hit your confidence to the point where now you're being forced with a church that tells you, dare to believe. You're saying, I don't know if I can believe again. I don't know if I have it in me anymore. And I'm saying to you, just because the temptation is coming, the test is there. Choose to be tested. Choose to be tested. Why? Because you know that in the test, just like Joshua, God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Where you go, he will be with you. And as long as you are found in him, you don't have to lean on your own understanding. You don't have to lean on what you're able to produce, what you're able to accomplish, because with man, it's impossible. With you, you can't do it. But with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. In closing, there are three things that I hope that we can learn from Joshua's life. And we know that that was the beginning of Joshua's life. We know that at the end of Joshua's life, Joshua was standing before the people. And he's saying to them, hey, this has been a good ride for me. I don't know about y'all, but this has been a good ride for me. And I had a choice to stay in that place where I wasn't strong and I wasn't courageous, or to push past those places, being found to lean on the wisdom of God and do what his word said was possible through him. And as a result, I'm resolved to say, if you believe this is God, then follow that. But me and my family, we know something now. We know that God is who he says he is, and we're willing to follow him. As for me and my clan, we're going to follow him. And you're being tempted, like I said, through situations and circumstances right now to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Three things in closing that I think that we can gather from the life of Joshua. Joshua found examples, mentors, who were godly men who he could follow, like Moses. All right? And he found himself in their presence. He found himself serving them. Amen? I'm talking about how we can consistently pass the test. He found himself in the right place with the right mentor, with the right example. Then he forged alliances with great men, godly men like Caleb. You have to have someone who believes about God what you believe about God. It's not enough to believe all by yourself. Even Moses had an Aaron. Third, he followed the wisdom of God Almighty. God told him, let not this book of the law depart from you, but meditated on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. And lo, well, let's go to that scripture because I don't want to mess up the end of it. That's Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will pass the test. I'm saying to you, the blessed life is the blessed or blessed life is the tested life, but that doesn't mean that you can't be like Joshua, one who passed the test I was reading the words of a hymn on my way up here, Blessed Assurance. Why is it Blessed Assurance, y'all? Because a blessed life cannot be a blessed life without Jesus. Blessed assurance. The blessed assurance or the blessed life is that Jesus is mine. And because Jesus is mine and I am his, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God, born of his spirit, and I'm washed in his blood, and so are you. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord God, for showing us examples worthy of following, Lord God. But we thank you, Lord God, for ultimately showing us Jesus the Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, who you blessed when you opened the heavens at his baptism and said, this is my son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him. You blessed him, Lord God. And after that came the test. And he was tested. And we are so grateful, even to the point of death, that he was obedient in the things that he suffered. And as a result, Lord God, he passed the test. And in him, as long as we're found, in him, we can pass the test of life as well and walk into the blessed assurance, the blessed life that you've produced and made available to all of us because of his shed blood on the cross, his bodily resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and his coming back in order to finish what he started. We thank you, Lord God, that we get to be with him, partnering with him, in doing those things. And we give you praise and glory and honor for that and all other things that you've already richly provided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mike, excellent. Thank you so much. Did I help you guys? Great. If you need prayer for anything, you can come down front. One thing I would just say is this: we're coming up on our week of our 3 days of consecration. And if you guys enjoyed January, a lot of you participated in the 5 days fasting and the prayer meetings. Some of you don't know, we do that every month. Basically, the first 3 days of the month, we take the first Wednesday and back up Monday and Tuesday before that. So February 1st, 2nd, 3rd coming up, we'll be praying at 6 a.m. and at noon on all of those days. Of course, we'll have Wednesday night service. So I just encourage you that if you want to be a part of that, that's great. Mike leads a lot of those meetings. I lead those meetings. And we just want you to do that with us. Come alongside us and stand with us, all right? Okay, so you're dismissed. Don't forget your children. Don't leave them here. And if you need prayer, Pastor Bruce promises he'll pray for you and anoint your head with oil. God bless you. Bye-bye.